she's with Nikki. I saw a body, and I just thought that was an issue coming in. Okay, there you go.
All right, we can reconvene the meeting. And if you would, please pray with me for a minute. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us together. Lord, make us diligent to do your work here at this college, that we may help the people of the county and of the district. Lord, give us wisdom and knowledge about the great things. Please be with us. Bless everybody here. All right. This time, the board will hear comments and questions from individuals who have not requested a specific place on the agenda and want to address the board. I don't guess there's anybody here. So we'll move to routine matters. I need a motion to accept those. If you looked over them.
Second.
Move and second. All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Next is new business, I guess. President's contract. So you've got a encloses your consideration. Do I have a motion? Any discussion?
Contract is ready.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
You got a new contract.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
E.G.
All right. We want to do the COVID-19 response.
Yes, and there's actually, if you had an opportunity to look at it, there's really not anything to add this month. We are continuing to work on how we're going to spend that CARES money, the remaining part of it, and we'll have an agenda item that we'll discuss about that later, but things are moving along.
Okay. Resolution for the City of San Angelo.
You will recall in a few months back, you gave us the authority to put together resolutions for the City of San Angelo and Shannon Medical Center regarding their response to the pandemic. So we've done that, and these resolutions are brought for your approval, and then we will work on a venue. We'll be going down the path of having a special meeting in San Angelo at a later date and invite them to come so that we can recognize them. So we'll start working on that.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, that took care of both of those, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Anything on Big Spring, Lisa?
Nothing. Yeah, you can move on to performance measures outcomes. Get down to access.
All right. All right, Big Spring enrollment. You want to take that?
Yeah, the spring enrollment. Okay, you have that in front of you, and Rebecca put it together. Rebecca Villanueva put this information together for you, and we have, as we always do, we give you the enrollment as well as the contact hour for both the fall and spring and summer sessions. This possibly after we get to this summer, we could be reporting this differently because, as we know, one of the reasons we've been reporting contact hours the way that we have is because of the way that relates to our funding. Not that it still won't be important to have something with that, but could change up a little bit. But for your spring enrollment, let me address some things. You can see that as a district, and this is going to startle you, but I would remind you that back in the fall, when we were reporting numbers, We had seen, because of the way that we'd had some changes in the way the Central ISD was enrolling students, we were having a significant drop in our fall enrollment. Well, now we're catching up, and so now we have a 40% increase in enrollment. And so, again, and for our San Angelo campus, it's 82%. So, basically, again, what has happened is, as I said, we saw a significant drop. We told you that we anticipated that it would be, we'd be catching up and we'd be able to show you that. So that we're being able to show you that. And so, overall then, our Big Spring campus saw a 6.4% increase in enrollment. Good sign. We feel like we're coming out of pandemic some. And so that is encouraging. Our La Mesa campus, again, it seems like a large number. It's 9 students, 8.33% decrease. Our San Angelo campus, again, we still, we're leveling off. We're seeing some change. Obviously, that's some dual credit enrollment, and it's looking, we're making positive strides there for sure. We're very excited about what's happened there. Our SWID campus, we are down. We continue to be down. The pandemic has been very challenging for the SWID campus, and we are working to change that. We're down 40% on our SWID campus. Some of that relates to some dual credit that we don't have this year, this particular semester. And so, overall, we are trying to pull those numbers back. But we're going in the right direction, just taking time. So the total enrollment for the spring semester is 4,400. And as I said, it's a 40% increase, but that could be a little bit misleading.
Is that the 21-day thing or something?
Well, yeah. Back in the fall, the enrollment, it was the way, when we make a note about it, the start date fell after, of those students fell after the census date, and so we had to report them, yeah. And so they're showing up now. We are not sure how that will be going forward. We're still working with the San Angelo ISD about how they want to handle that. And some of that had to do with some transportation issues and just in changes in the way they wanted to handle it as administration. But we're working on that. Pam and group are working on that. All right, so as far as contact hours, as I said, this is a different conversation. In the past, this would be a very important conversation, not that it's still not important, but we would be telling you, okay, our contact hours are up. Overall, as a district, 26%, again, a sizable increase, again, for our San Angelo campus. We're at 40, almost 44%, and so that obviously then is, that ties with that increase in the number of students. So as concerning as it could have sounded in the fall, we knew we were going to be rebounding in the spring and things would level out and we'd be going the right direction. The Big Spring campus does see a 3.47% increase. Our La Mesa campus sees a 10.47% increase. In SWID, we do not get contact hour generation for SWID, so we always share what we're doing in the way of contact hours, but we're not funded on contact hours. So that's the picture as far as our contact hours, but again, the outcomes are going to be the items that are going to be the most important as we're going forward. We're still figuring out how that's going to look. When you look at our 10-year, and we always do a comparison by semester, we also looked at, and this is interesting because we're going to, next year, we will be past what was that, the Great Recession year, when we saw record enrollments right around the 2012-2013 year. That was when our enrollment as a district got up to 4679, And so what we've tried to do is looked at it over a 10-year period, and we've also looked at it year to year, what we're seeing in the weight of increase or decrease. And then we have pulled those numbers out that might be, that are creating a little bit of an aberration for the spring semester, so that we could get a better picture. But also what is happening, again, once that 2013 year comes off and you are looking, if you'll see 2014 through 2023, 2014, we dropped about 1,000 students in that, from that Great Recession year to the next year, and then it kind of has stayed somewhat, it's fluctuated around those numbers. And then we dropped during the pandemic. And so you can see that we've kind of hovered around between 3142 would have been what 3338 would be the spring semester as compared to what it was in 2014 at 3784. But again, we're still comparing over a 10-year period. It was 4679. If you look year to year, we are seeing for the Big Spring campus, you're seeing a 6.4% increase. Lamesa's down that 8.33%. San Angelo's up 11.8%, and our SWID campus is still at 39.8%. If you look over a 10-year period of time, then you still see that decrease because of the fact that we're comparing, having to compare to that year, that 2013 year, when it was, again, record enrollments. And so the Big Spring campus would be down by 16.45%, La Mesa 36.5%, San Angelo 35.8%, and SWID 36.9%, and as a district 28.66%, and contact hours then would reflect that of 26.69. So as I say, once we were able to pull that year, that record year out, you can, when you go back and you look at how we have fluctuated between 2014 and 2023, then we're beginning to, we can do, it's a better trend line you can kind of watch. So that's what's happening, and of course we will be paying attention to different things going forward, although enrollment and contact hours will still matter. Do you have any questions about any of that? Rebecca's not here, but Amy or Brian, we could answer any other questions you might have. Yeah. I think we're making some progress. Mr. Chairman, would you like for me to go ahead and do the next one, the continuing ed, because it kind of relates to it again, because we're still reporting similar kinds of numbers right now. Okay, so when you look at, and this is quarter one, and this is going to be our workforce training continuing ed. All right, you can see that we're seeing at the FCI dramatic increase, which we anticipated that would be happening, hopefully. So you're seeing it again, an aberration. It's going to sound like, wow, you know, 65%. But again, that's going back and comparing numbers when we were in the base year, which was during the COVID year, when basically we weren't being able to do hardly anything. And so that number is beginning to come back. Our San Angelo campus, we're 7%, but it's, you know, again, those numbers are, as far as headcount, are pretty close. It's 25 students. The Big Spring campus is seeing an increase. Again, sounds large, 31%. Some of that ties back to things we're being able to do with the prison and in general. And so 31%, significant changes there. When you get down then and you look at, you can also get into the contact hours themselves in the next next chart, and that will show you that those contact hours are reflecting the headcount. And at the FCI, we're seeing a 68% increase. The San Angelo campus, 31%. Again, that just, it depends on your mix of how many contact hours are being generated in certain courses, and so our mix is down, but I can tell you there's a lot going on with CE and San Angelo, so that will continue to grow. The Big Spring campus, again, a significant increase. Again, that reflects back to some of those numbers that are happening with what's going on with Big Spring. GO, as you know, we were doing a lot with GO in some of the training. That has gone away, but we have picked up some other things relative to some CE. Course offerings, obviously, a 57% increase in course offerings at the prison. That should not be surprising. And our San Angelo, we're only down 3% on actual course offerings. So again, your numbers, number of people generating contact hours can factor into those kinds of things. Big Spring up 16%, again, just a reflection of some of the things that are being able to be done. So positive, we're going in a positive direction. Now, it's going to be interesting because the CE is also going to be captured in a different way. It's going to also be outcome-based, so we will still be giving you information relative to contact hours, but it's going to, if things play out the way the commission has recommended, our funding based on contact hours is probably going to be around 5%. And so although it will matter, it's going to matter very differently going forward. So that's the report on that. Mr. Chairman?
You want to go down to student success.
Yes, sir. Okay, so we can... Okay, next on student success, we have some key performance indicators, and Brian has put together this information, so he's going to come forward and give an overview of that.
Good afternoon. How are you doing? I wanted to go over some key performance indicators that y'all found the board before, which is something that we've been doing for the past 3 or 4 years. Key performance indicators that we're looking at are what we call leading indicators. This is something that we learned from the Texas Success Center when we started Texas Pathways a few years ago. Basically, instead of looking at these lagging indicators and waiting for students to complete and see what happened to them, we're looking at information as they're going through it. And we're trying to see how are our students doing after the first semester. These early momentum metrics focus on first-time students. First-time students, the way we're defining it and the way we're looking at it, are students who are entering college after completing high school or a GED program and entering into college. So this is their first real college experience. So it's not including dual credit. It's not including transfers from another school. It's looking at students who are coming into the system as new to Howard College and having completed that secondary type credential. Early momentum metrics that we like to look at is how many college credit hours are they earning, are they completing that gateway math course, and then are they completing that gateway English course, are they completing both of those, and then are they moving from fall to spring. Looking at the data from what this past fall, the disappointing part so far was we went down in a lot of areas, but I think we're seeing why. And so instead of giving the same report I usually give, I deep dive into this fall term to kind of see what's happening and why are we seeing the things that we are doing. And so that's what the rest of the slides are over. Talking about the first-time students by programs, and we look at that, we had about 441 students who are coming in as, again, that type of first-time student. These students are... 10% of our population, a little over 10% of our population for the fall. The majority of them are seeking an associate's degree, and then the rest are seeking the certificate program. You'll see I went ahead and tried to determine what majors that they are going after. General studies seems to be the popular one, but then you see things like pre-medical studies, which students are usually in that for allied health reasons. business, criminal justice, and then our education associate AAP program. Certificate program, a lot less in terms of that, in terms of students. Majority of them are in that cosmetology program, but I went ahead and listed the rest of the five programs for that as well. Focusing on our associate's degree students, looking at that, one thing that stood out is more students are being considered college ready than they were previously. This is due to students being completed by TSI, which a lot of students during the COVID year couldn't take TSI because, you know, during the testing was a lot of restrictions. So a lot of students didn't get to take TSI. So they actually came in not considered ready or taking co-requisite developmental courses with the college level courses. Students can now take the TSI test with no restrictions. So we have a lot more students doing that. We also have a lot more students who are being considered college ready through House Bill 5 and Texas Bridge programs. These are programs through through the high schools that if they complete these programs, they are exempt from taking TSI and considered college ready for college level courses for about 2 years. So that's been a big change where more students are considered college ready. The gender and the ethnicity haven't changed too much over the years, but most of the college readiness part has for our students. Our certificate programs, they're exempt from TSI, so they are, I guess, considered college ready. They just don't take the academic courses like math and English. So they weren't included in this, but I separated them from the group since they don't take a college level math or English. And I'll talk about them towards the end of the presentation. Earning 6+ credits, again, we went down from previous years. So looking at how this is going, students were taking less college credit hours than they were previously. The trend that seems to be going with our students is not taking a full-time load, and then also focusing on one of the college level readiness measures rather than both. So, you know, in prior years, we encouraged students to take both the college level English and the college level math at the same time. But when they don't take as many hours and drop down to full time, then we focus on one. I think that's what we're seeing going on right now. So the number of 6+ college credits was down from previous years. But I think it is because they're not taking as many college level courses at the same time. We can see what I included there. I wanted to see what classes they were taking. The biggest one that our first-time students are taking is the Learning Frameworks course, which is our lead course, which makes sense. That'd be number one. Second seems to be English. If students are going in and taking a course, they are taking English 13-01, which would complete them for their reading and their writing. And so that seems to be the big gateway course. The Math 13-14 is way at the bottom. Well, not way at the bottom, but it's number 7 on the list. So it looks like when students are taking courses, they're focusing more on the reading writing rather than getting their mathematics done right away. All these other courses are either reading restricted or not restricted in terms of, they're not restricted in terms of TSI readiness. Math course, we start off with that one. This one, again, I wanted to get a deeper dive in terms of what was happening. You can see a lot of students do come in, about 12-15% come in completing math prior. They got it as dual credit, they got it as an ACT score, SAT score. The path to college level, that orange color, that's telling that they completed that this past fall. If it's a gray color, that means they completed the developmental education. So they're not considered, they couldn't take the college level course, but they're taking the developmental course to prepare for the college level course. And then the yellow is the no attempt, so they didn't attempt completing the math part. And then the DNCs did not complete, so they did not complete either the college level math or the Dev Ed math course. And so looking at that, you know, our Math 13-14 seems to be the big one. That's always been kind of the primary math course that students take, college algebra. Statistics is the second one because due to Allied Health. They have, again, an over 7% completion rate on that. And then I also looked at the instructional mode, and most of our students tend to be more successful taking face-to-face course than fully online courses. Again, I think with these first-time students, again, getting adjusted on an online course compared to face-to-face, typically we do see a lower percent success. For English, again, English completes the reading and writing portion of their CSI. Again, this is another big hurdle to cross. You can see, again, the same color coordination about completing it prior to enrolling with us or completing the English 1301 in the orange or passing the dev ed. Again, we consider that a success. And then we look at whether they attempted it or not and then did not complete either English or the developmental education English. Again, I think most students are taking and focusing on their English this semester and then rather than doing both. And so if they did choose one, I think they mostly chose English. Grade distribution-wise, I wanted to include that again because we do offer English in so many different ways, whether it's face-to-face, whether it's online. We have hybrid options. CoREC is another big one. So students who are not considered TSI ready but are close enough, they can take the English level course with a developmental course simultaneously. And so that's supposed to help guide them and move them to be more successful. So we include that information in there as well. So the number of students who have completed both math and English, again, we saw a lower number than before. Again, I think it's because we're taking less hours and focusing more at one at a time compared to the other. Persistence-wise, we're just over a little bit of 70%. We've been dropping in persistence. I'm trying to determine what is causing that. Why is that happening? There's nothing really that really stands out. But again, we got to figure out our persistence, and we need to improve on that term one and term two. What can we do to have students be more successful in starting in the fall and then moving into the spring term? The last slide is going over certificates. Again, I separated them out because college readiness or college readiness is different compared to the transfer associate's degrees or the AASs. We do see some similar trends in terms of the persistence and earning of 6+ credit hours compared to the associate's degree, so they are pretty similar. You know, all this to say, you know, going through all this, you know, there is still plenty of room for us to improve. I think there's plenty of room in terms of always being more successful, helping students go from term to term. I think looking after this summer or after this spring and looking at the summer numbers, I think we'll see a big change in terms of total completion. Students who have completed their English are probably now focusing on the math and then vice versa. So we'll see the completion of math and English jump probably way bigger than we've seen previously just because they're focusing on them one at a time rather than together. Anything I need to include in there, Dr. Spark?
No, sir.
Any questions?
I will say that this kind of information, because of the fact that we're moving into this outcomes-based funding, these are going to be the kinds of things we're going to be watching even closer. That's one of the reasons we've been trying to build this up and our work on this, and because, again, we're going to be funded based on outcomes. So.
Do you think people are taking fewer credit hours because unemployment is so low that they're working more and doing some college on the side as opposed to like going full time?
I think students right now, it's something similar to that. It's more of, you know, are they overwhelmed taking that many hours? You know, again, these are first time students who are being exposed to college. So it's 12, 15 hours seem a lot, you know. And then also, you know, I know coming from an advising experience, focusing on math and English your first semester is daunting. So that may be some of what we're seeing. You know, we've been working on different things here at the college, like the 8-week courses. This could help with that. Because in 8 weeks, they could take focus on two classes and then focus on another two classes 8 weeks following rather than 16-week courses. So I think there's something into that, and I think we'll see as we move kind of how our schedule changes. Will that help them feel more prepared to take the class?
And Ben, to your point about unemployment, going back to what we were just talking about, when you look at a 10-year comparative and seeing what was happening during the Great Recession, and we had those record enrollments, all of us did across the country. And then it dropped and we kind of went back to pre-Great Recession numbers. Then you get into that 10 years and then you have to look at what happened around the pandemic as well. So right now, our unemployment in this area is still just so low. And so people can work and they have opportunity to get good jobs. And so I'm sure there's some of that going on as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Community Workforce Development.
All right. Let me just remind everyone that we will have the County Summit, Howard County Summit, tomorrow. It'll be in the Coliseum. Representing the board for the college will be Raul and Adrian. And each of the entities will have a spokesperson. I will serve in that role for the college. I will go through and basically I'm going to focus on what is happening with the commission recommendation and what we're hoping will come out of that and what people can do to help us with that as we move into the next section of that. The entities that will be represented tomorrow will be Howard County, City of Big Spring, Big Spring EDC, the Big Spring Area Chamber of Commerce, College, Big Spring ISD, Tahoma ISD, Forsyth ISD, West Texas VA Healthcare, Big Spring State Hospital, and Scenic Mountain Medical Center. So it starts at 1:30. It will go until 4:30. We do have a hard stop at 4:30 and trying to keep it much, much less formal than what it was last year. And are encouraging people to come, and it will not, last year it was live streamed during the actual meeting, obviously, but we chose to go a little differently. The EDC is working with the city. We'll do the recording, and it'll be on the Optimum channel as they also always post, like, the city meetings, and it'll be up within 7 days. However, what we're going to be doing, because of the fact that we have deaf and hard of hearing individuals as a part of our college community, and want to ensure that they are being able to participate, we will have interpreters there at the meeting. We will also be doing a live streaming. Howard College will be providing a live streaming on the interpreter during the meeting, and then that will also be available after the meeting as well. And it'll be paired with the Channel 17. They'll know that exists, and it'll be on our, I believe it's going to be on our SWID page or YouTube, something, I don't know. So that's the meeting tomorrow, and we'll give you a report next month.
Okay. Performance Excellence Quarterly Investment Report.
Okay. You've got the quarterly report, and as you know, this is something that's prepared for you quarterly, and Brenda, Steve can answer any questions that you might have about the investment report. And that is just a report. You don't have to approve that.
Okay. The T, we need to do the...
Desk audit. Okay, as you all know, we went through a desk audit of our TEOG program. Basically, it started last spring, and we worked on it through the summer as well, and we were able to complete that. They did find, there was one finding, and we addressed that. Other than that, we've got things in order, and we will make corrections as needed. That was approved by the coordinating board. There's a committee of the coordinating board that has oversight for these kind of audits, and so that did pass that group, and so we're moving along.
Final audit.
Okay. As you know, last month we had the report by Jan Thomas on our audit, and we were at that point, it was it, basically was finished, but we wanted to go ahead and give you an overview of it at that point in time, and then they put the final touches on it. This is your final document, but I do want to take you to page 90 and 91 of the document. And basically, you always want an unmodified, is what they call it, opinion. But then we really like to also look at pages 90 and 91, because if there's anything that we're having to do relative to any of our grants or anything, I would say, and I think that Brenda would agree with me, we had a perfect audit. And so that is pretty amazing. And they all did a fantastic job. There is a large group of people that are involved in that audit, without a doubt, and she never wants to take credit, but Brenda is our leader on it. And there is, again, a very strong, there's a lot of people that make that happen all year long, so we're very proud of them.
Okay, monitoring, purchasing.
Okay. Moving into purchasing, we've got a little different scenario here that really, I'll just kind of explain this one real quick, Steve, because I think it's a little different. But on the RFP 23001, audio visual upgrades for distance learning rooms, I already made mention of this when we were doing the COVID report on the agenda. And what we have here, this is basically our last expenditure that we're working on relative to the CARES funding. And this has been something that we've been working on for several months now. We being Steve and Janie, put out an RFP back in January, and we are gathering individuals. Of course, Eric obviously was very involved in determining what we needed to have in the RFP. And so we have companies that have expressed an interest. And what we will be doing, we will be upgrading all of our distance rooms. We made sure that this was something we, being Brenda, we have a person who helps us, Benay Edwards, who is basically our federal contact. And we wanted to make sure this would be appropriate use of the money, and we got a blessing on that, and also worked with our auditors and asked them the same question, because they actually audit the information, and then the Department of Ed can come back and look at it at a later date. Just like what I was talking about on pages 90, 91, when you get a mark, then the Department of Ed or someone can look at that in a different way. And so when you get you have nothing that's, there's no flag going up, then that's always a good sign. So we're in a scenario where June of 23, and Brenda's counting the days as well as all the other people that are helping her with the reports, that will be the end of all that CARES money as far as expenditure at the college level, unless we get some kind of an extension, and that would not be lengthy. And so we are to have that money spent by June of 23. So we are diligently trying to get all that done, because every one of our distance rooms will be considered all four campuses. And we're trying to upgrade these because our distance rooms are at end of life in some cases, as far as some of the equipment. We're trying to make these adapt for maybe some of the Zooming function. It's a little different than what we've had in the past, and overall just upgrading of it. It will also be a great opportunity for our SWID campus. We continue to keep pushing forward with our goal, our strategy of wanting to do more dual credit for our deaf and hard of hearing, our La Mesa campus, looking at Monica. We do a lot of distance for our La Mesa campus. Some of those students, that is the way they're able to really gather coursework. And so it's important that we have a strong infrastructure when you're 13 counties serving. Our scenario was that we actually had put it out and wanted this information back in for you to approve today, but because of the magnitude of the project, the vending the vendors were asking for extension. We felt like that was a good thing to do, and so those actual proposals won't be coming in until March the 7th. In order for us to keep this thing moving, I'd like to be able to get authority from you to, we will have, as we always do with any of our RFPs, we will do our review and make recommendation, and it will be made up of people who are very knowledgeable of what needs to be done. And I would like to get authority from you to be able to move forward with that. And then we would bring it back to the March 27th meeting for your affirmation. But that is also a part of what these companies are looking at as they are submitting their proposals. They're making sure they're going to be able to get the equipment in time to meet that deadline in June. And so everybody's being very careful trying to check everything out. We have looked into, Brenda has asked questions about an extension. We'd rather not, if we can. But so that is, again, part of our effort to keep things moving. So we're asking for approval. I'm asking for authority to be able to do that.
How much care?
It's going to be about, what, Brenda, about, as far as the amount of money, it's about 1.8, yeah. And so, time we spend all that on those classrooms, that's about, it'll get close.
There's no expectation that there's going to be money other than CARES funding going into these?
No, that's correct. We're trying to use all, that's right. It would be CARES money.
Okay. Have a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Everybody in favor say aye.
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 All right.
Aye.
Okay. Now the next one is, and Steve, if you want to come forward on that one, and Eric may also want to be ready to answer some questions. Why don't you guys just come on up and be ready to answer questions for the board?
Well, this is not an RFP. It was done under a interlocal. It's Bell IT. It's network security. Eric can speak to exactly what it is, but it's $88,931, almost $89,000. Unlike the one that y'all just looked at, we have to have three, because it's federal money, we have to have three bids. Because this is not federal money, we can go ahead and do it under the interlocal, because it's already been bid out. But yeah, it's Bell IT for network security for $88,931.
Yeah, this is it's just for overall network security. It's software that controls like logging. It uses like some artificial intelligence to look for just malicious things that might be going on in the background that happen slowly that you wouldn't catch. You know, just looking at something day to day. And then it allows like role-based connectivity to your network. So we're going to be looking at Wi-Fi and then plugging into the port. So it's going to scan devices, look to see if they meet like minimum security standards. And then based on a role, like when you log in, if you're a student, faculty, staff, administrator, it will give you the correct permissions that you need on the network. So that's in a nutshell what it does. It does a lot of things, but it gives you a lot of control over the network that without it you don't have. So. And then Bell IT, the product itself is a perpetual license, so a big part of the cost is for the service itself. And then there's like a 3-year support built in. And then the last line item on there is for the consulting services for configuration and setup. And that's LIT that will be doing that work, and so we've been in communication with them about, you know, what all those services will include, and then another conversation with them about maybe some ongoing block hours and things to make sure that, you know, we're getting full utilization of the product after the statement of work for the project is passed.
My recollection, I may be wrong,
that this was something that came out of somewhere where Dell IT offered to do an audit of our security? Is that this one?
No, sir. I think what you're talking about was when we did the Tax 202 audit, which is from the state of Texas. They do offer like remediation services, and we had talked about, you know, and that was done through AT&T. And so they do offer like a follow-up call and offer remediation services.
So but this isn't that. This
no,
is
sir.
A different one.
Yes, sir.
This is the AT&T.
No, in fact, and that'll be some of the things we're talking about next month.
So who came up with Bell IT?
We worked with Aruba. HP Aruba HP is the product that we use for networking computers. And so we worked with them, and this is a vendor that they worked with. They recommended.
Okay, so we're going to deal with AT&T next month, but that's going to have to do with security also.
Correct. It's a different thing.
Services.
Yeah, that's a different thing. Yeah, because the state, and it, you know, and it'll kind of build into what we're going to be talking about next on the handbook changes as far as the policy. But the state, several years ago, created a Department of Information Resources, DIR. And basically they are now creating or providing oversight of technology services throughout the state. We are now required by state law, the TAC 202 that Eric was referring to, we now, and it started with the universities and then it was the community colleges, and as a part of TAC 202, you have to have an audit of your infrastructure, your technology infrastructure, every 3 years. And AT&T is something that the state, then they provide grants in order for you to be able to use AT&T to help you do an audit of your services. And then it's backed up against how you size up with TAC 202. And then the coordinating board, just like, for example, they have done whenever they come in to do an audit on us relative to how we are submitting our contact hours in general, or TEOG or whatever, like the TEOG audit that we had before, what they did, they checked us before they would move further into their audit. They checked us for how we were
responding
and how we were adhering to TAC 202. And one of the things they looked at was, have you had an audit?
They want to see your last report and then progress that you.
Yeah.
If it wasn't recent, they want to see changes from the previous report.
Yeah. And so we will be giving you an update on that next month, as far as because we had our 3-year audit. So y'all will be having, and that will be executive session because that is a considered sensitive information. So we'll be doing that in March.
I think I just saw AT&T within my head.
Yeah.
And I saw Bell.
Yeah. Got it.
Oh,
yeah.
Got the same bunch.
Yeah. No. It's a different deal.
And like Dr. Sparks was saying, we did get that grant from DIR, and AT&T was the contractor that they're contracting with, so they're the ones that did our audit. You can pay to get an external company, but we just used the grant so that we didn't have to use Howard College Dollars.
Yeah, so that was on the audit. Now, as far as going forward, if we determine that we want to contract any services, we know that AT&T can contract, but we also know the state has some grants that we can, and so we will also be trying to ask about that. So that's the kind of stuff we'll talk about in March. Okay?
Good.
So we need approval.
You need your approval and then both of these?
Because we got the RFP one, so we just need the Bell IT.
Okay. Okay.
This is all software. This is not, there's nothing.
It's, there'll be a hardware device, like a server, but a lot, ClearPath itself is software.
And it will integrate with CAMs? Or
oh, no, this is for, like, just the wired and wireless network.
Okay.
So just the connectivity of the college, like, to, okay, to the internet, so, and monitoring endpoints, like computers, laptops, you know, anything that's connected to the wireless.
This is where a lot of your malicious actors will come in, and so this is one of the things that you, again, as he was saying,
like compromised accounts that maybe doing kind of malicious things slowly in the background.
Yeah, how they'll try to start.
Let's ask it this way: but I think what you've got is a bunch of people that are a little unsure what this. We're not. We don't have your job.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Will you spend $88,000 of your money for this product?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
I get it. I'll
tell you one thing I asked when we were on the call with LIT, and this might help reassure you a little bit, is when we were talking to the Aruba, I was like, I mean, because it is a lot of money. So I asked him, I said, do you think we need this with the status quo? And he said, if you care about security, this is your first step.
Well, of course they're
going to
say that.
Yeah.
No, we hear a lot of people involved. There's AT&T, and an audit, there's
TR, mm-hmm. No,
there's
sure.
LIT, and everybody wants money, everybody wants a piece of our internet security. So I just want to kind of make sure that all of the pieces are reasonable.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. $88,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
I'll make a motion.
Second?
Second.
Motion second. Everybody in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. All right. Handbook and catalog.
Okay. As you all know, I had forwarded to you the fact that we were going to need to have a prohibited technologies security policy into the state before your board meeting, but it all was happening very quickly based on, again, passed back in December. Some actions that our governor was taking relative to feeling like that we needed to take some security steps in Texas, as it referenced TikTok. And so the DIR, DPS, Department of Public Safety, came up with not only was there concern about the TikTok, there was also concern about some other items as well. And they indicated that they would be giving us, and this is, again, in December-January framework, that we would be getting some kind of a model template. We thought it was going to be middle of January, and we got it February the 7th, I think it was, and had to have it turned around in, like, about 10 days. So, as you know, what we did is we took the model template, and Eric and team were involved in coordinating and talking to others across the state. Everybody was scurrying and figuring out how we were going to do this. It continues to be something that a lot of people are talking about and trying to make sure that they're being able to implement it. But this is the policy that we took the model template, we turned it in on the deadline, which was the 15th. And now we move to the implementation stage. We are continuing to work through how we will do that. You will be hearing more about that. And also, this policy, literally, I don't know that it's possible we might come back next month and have a modification on it, or the next month, or the next month, because we're all working to try to figure out how, you know, once you put something in policy, then you're going to be asked about how are you implementing your policy, are you following your policy, and to the conversation that Eric was alluding to with the DIR, the audit, the TAC 202. We'll see how they take this and include that as a part of TAC 202, because we anticipate that we're going to be audited on this kind of thing as well. So we will continue to bring you information. We've shared this with our employees. They got the same information the day that we submitted it to the state and shared it with you all as well. And we had a Zoom all-district meeting last Friday, and we're trying to talk about it a little bit more. But there are going to be some changes as we move into implementation, how we will have to do this. It is going to create some restrictions on personal devices, and so we're just going to have to work through all of that, and we'll keep coming back to you with more information, but need affirmation of what we turned in. So need an affirmation handbook, yeah.
Second. Moved and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. All right. Construction renovation.
Okay. Carrie.
My.
What I have here is all the documentation on the roofing project. And I'll leave it up here if you want to go through it. The big binders contain everything from the contract documents to the insurance that we had from the contractor change orders, even our contract with the architects and so on and so forth, the contract specifications, and this binder is a compilation of the roofing reports, a report of the storm loss from April 24th of 22, and then we had a couple of inspections along the way from Mantis and Moody's. So there's a lot of information there on this roofing project, and as I reported in the last roofing report, we are complete. And and WCR sent us closeout documents on SWID and on Howard College. And these binders will go in the vault because they contain important things like the final application for payment, the letter attesting that all items of work are complete, contractor's affidavit of payments, so that a supplier can't come back on me, on us rather, and hope it's not me, and say, oh, you never paid for this material or this service or whatever. Release of liens, contractor's release of liens, the consent of surety for final payment, warranties from the contractor and the manufacturers and subcontractors. So there's a lot of documentation that's maintained in all these documents. These two at least will go in the vault. Those may go on the shelf, possibly in Fabian's office or Fernando's, because, you know, 5 years from now, if you have to refer back to something, well, it's going to be in that book. So, as I said, WCR, the contractor, prepared these closeout documents. They're very complete, and it's a synopsis of all of that. So, you know, having said that, do you have any questions on the project?
Project.
Okay.
Yeah,
Dr. Sparks, any other thoughts?
Great job, Terry.
Well, it's been... You know, it's 2 years in the making, so
yep.
There's a lot of
yep.
There was a lot of ladder climbing and a lot of you know, there was a lot of oversight that went into this project by several people, Brian Dunnigan, Phil Parkland, myself, and of course WCR. all the installations were inspected by the manufacturers of the products. Got acrylics, U.S. Ply, and all the others that supplied the materials. They came regularly to make sure that the installation was done correctly, and the manufacturer of the insulation, which some of those, like at SWID, the insulation, I believe, not because we were looking for R value, but the insulation at the middle of the building is between 16 and 18 inches thick. What that did, that gave slope to the roof, so we don't have ponding issues anymore there. And I think all of the roofs that were replaced were done that way. And all the manufacturer's warranties are 20 years. There's a two-year installation warranty from WCR. We've already called him out on maybe two or three minor leaks, and they've been Johnny on the spot, as I trust that they will be through the warranty period. So I think some of these roofs will last longer than that, actually. That's the tale on the roofs.
That's a major thing. Is Fabian, is there any other flood things that you would want to bring up at this point? For all practical purposes, I think everything is it's done.
Because in the Jay DeWitt, I guess Durkin's coming this week.
He's coming this week. I talked to him this morning, and he's not here today, but he said he would be here this week. That's one thing I could mention. On the final payoff, there was a $64,000 credit, $64,000 change, that reimbursed Howard College and some individuals for personal and college property that was lost in that April flood. And we had agreed all along to handle that at the end of the project. Brenda and Casey helped us track all that. And really, we only came up with the final number probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe. So the timing worked perfect. They ended up owing us $64,000 in change, and that was deducted from the final payout. And I think, Dr. Sparks, did you want to discuss that payout with, usually change orders are asking for more money.
Right.
In this case, we were getting money back.
Right.
So,
yeah.
To help offset for those losses, so.
Yeah, and it's in your report, so.
Yes, and it is in the report. Okay, that's if there's no questions, we'll call that a
done project.
We can
check it off our list. Thank you, Terry. We appreciate it very much. There's been a real ride on this. As y'all, we've had a little legal diversion along the way, and then ended up having our flood issue. So it created some extension on the project, but it's done. It's done.
And I will mention one other thing. These closeout documents have been sent to Travelers. There was retained depreciation on the projects. So Travelers, as I'm told, will be sending an inspector out to take pictures and inspect the roofs, and we anticipate getting some of a retained withheld depreciation. Don't know that we'll get it all because there were buildings that they totaled. And I'll give you a good example of this. The McKinney building, metal roof, they totaled it because of dents in the roof. We felt like that money we could put, I think there's two or three coats of metacrylic on it, which is that acrylic coating, 20-year warranty. We felt like we could, and it was much less than replacing all the roof metal on that roof. We felt like we could take that money and do other things with it that Travelers did not cover. And so, I don't know how they'll look at that when they consider, our application with closeout documents for retained depreciation. It's not a huge amount of money, but everything that was done on this project was done
in the best interest of long-term viability and serviceability of these roofs. So.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Library and music?
Library and music. Those projects are coming along very well. The library, I don't know if it's ahead of schedule, but it is moving right along. We're ready. We're on the verge of getting interior finishes, which is going to be any, you know, the texture, paint, those kinds of things. All the walls are built. Virtually all the patching is done. There's still some electrical work to do that will move pretty quickly. And so that project, we believe the library project will be finished sometime in April, probably toward the end, but we do believe in April. Jill DeFore, and I don't even know who all. I think Jill primarily, Amy, is applying for grants for library furniture, 3, I believe. And
yep.
And so the, one of those grants, I believe, is going in.
They're already in.
Oh, all of them?
They're all in,
okay.
And we're just waiting to
okay.
get responses.
So we get, I think we get notice in March.
1 in February and 2 in March.
2 in March, okay. And so, you know, depending on what new furniture is funded, you know, then that will be ordered. We do have all the furniture from the library before that's in Fabian's got it in storage. You know, I think that's probably what will happen. We'll use some of that in some music building. Is a much more complicated project and much more in depth. And that project, I believe, will probably last at least through June. The goal is ultimately, it's 280 days from the start, which was in October. So that project will probably take the whole 280 days, still giving us time to get the building put back together for use in the fall, next fall. So they've been doing a lot of the exterior concrete work. I was over there on Thursday, and they were starting to put in some drywall. And walls are already constructed, but they had not received drywall yet, so they're working on that. It's not a lot of it. There's some new doors to put in and some trim work, but that project is moving along, I would say, on schedule at this point. And I think you've seen the reports. It's got
yes.
some pictures that probably tell more than I can. So.
Yeah, it's coming along great. Both of them.
An angel sign.
And actually, Terry didn't have much to do with that. It started as an angel sign. And Pam did hear Shane. I don't know if he's on the line. Sometimes he'll call in. But Shane Tacklett, who is our business person on the San Angelo campus, was very involved in this. But you all know and shared the picture in your board book. That the sign in front of the West Texas Training Center had needed to be updated for a very, very, very long time. And Shane worked with a local company in San Angelo to see if we could make some adaptations that would make that look a lot better. And so that's what it looks like. You have that in your board book. And we just wanted you to see.
Looks
beautiful. Yeah, we're really pleased with it. Shane, if you're on there, thank you very much.
All right, student information system.
All right, Eric. This could actually be Eric, Amy, and Brian, but Eric
right.
is.
What are you doing?
He got mad because I didn't include him the other day, so
yeah.
He's not getting left out today. We're still doing data validation. More trainings have been going on. Tennille and the registrar's office is going to start building courses, and they're going through those types of, and that's helping with the data validation as well as, and then advising, had a training last week, and they have another one, is that March 6th? Brian attended that along with Devin. And what else?
And there's lots, the advisors are anxious. I think we rather mentioned last time, our Navigate system that we purchased, what, last year? Well, you know, we're nervous, we love it, and we're nervous that it won't interact with the with CAMS, our new system, so we're making progress there.
Yeah, it's, that's one of our third-party integrations, and that's a big one. It's a really big system, and so I did the integration from Poise to EAB, and it's really involved. There's a lot, I think there's like 40 or 50 different files that get sent over. So we don't know the CAMS, you know, product as well and the database diagrams. And so one of their employees is helping make that transition, and they're working with the AB, and they're matching the files that we're sending from Poise, and they're making those same transmissions through CAMS. And then I think today he said they're about 80% done with that integration. So that was a big one that advising has really started to utilize. And so as we make the switch, we didn't want to interrupt, you know, how they process and help students. And so that was a big one that we wanted their help with to make sure that we got correct. And so reports, I think Brian, Devin, and I, we may have to split those up, and business processes and things like that from our different end offices. We're going to have to really start working on getting daily reports and things that they do day-to-day transitioned into CAMS as best as we can. So that's going to be a lot of what we're going to be working on.
Last week, I believe, the Rebecca, our chief reporting officer, got a first glimpse at the Texas State Reporting module.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? I don't know if it's a module, but anyway, she said, I'm pleasantly surprised. So I thought, oh, we hit a home run with that, because she was not looking forward to having to change, you know, the system for our reporting, mm-hmm. which is crucial, mm-hmm. you know, critical. So I don't know if you...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they... he did that, some of that on the advising, the day that they did advising, he met with them separately. So they're going to start comparing reports, state reports from CAMS as best as they can. Some of it... The new ones is going to rely on the new data that's going into CAM. So we're going to, I guess, for fall registration, our goal at the moment is to move fall registration to CAM. So that's a lot of the work Tanel's doing. And
it's April the 25th. It's not very far. So
that's a lot of the work that Tanel has been working on. The registrar is building courses and getting, and we're going to work with Tracy this week on getting employee roles put into CAMS so that we can start getting them into the, because right now everyone's been kind of logging in and just seeing everything. So we're going to start making positions role-based so that they can start logging in and seeing just the things that they need to see from their log.
We've asked patience. Yeah, that's our theme through all this. And everybody wants to get their hands in it and see it, and then they do, and they're like, wow, that's a lot. I'm like, it's a lot. So just bear with IT especially, and little by little, everyone will be trained. So
it's getting there. Everybody's working really hard. So pretty intense right now. As Amy said, we intend to be able to let our students register for fall in April. So we're basically advancing with Go Live.
Financial aid, they are working.
They are live, yeah.
So they're doing...
they're continuing their process.
Continuing there.
Yep.
Yeah, they're... Because they're only working the new 8-year in CAMS right now.
She's actually training staff today and tomorrow, I believe.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Great.
Thanks. Madam President.
Okay, I'm going to try to take us very fast, if you will be good with that.
I'll be good with
that. Yeah, okay. On your calendar, upcoming activities would be next. You can see Again, I won't go into all these, but we've a lot of athletic events, and all those are detailed for you. We do have our theater show, Terra Nova, this week. We will have next week, we will have our San Angelo Phi Theta Kappa ceremony in San Angelo. That's on Tuesday. We have our San Angelo Foundation meeting. Then we move into, there is a spring break, but you can see there's a lot of activity with that, around that. Your next board meeting is on March 27th. I will not go into everything that follows after that, but that's for you, so you know when some other things are coming up. It's getting very close. Your calendar next month will have graduation stuff on it, but you can see awards, convocations, and things that are beginning to come, that are showing up in your calendar. So we're trying to give you a head start so you can work on your schedule. Recognitions, I particularly want to give some credit to students that went to had made it to be able to participate at the Texas Music Educators Association meeting, the All-State Choir, the two-year college All-State Choir. And those students, we've reported on that before. You see Emma was there, and she took great pictures for us. And so you have that information, those students participating. It was, you can see the program. It was on Saturday night. And our students, and then behind that, in yellow, you can see the students that Howard College had, Krista Kaufman, soprano, alto, Addison Smith, tenor, Joseph Fierro, Brian Wilkins, tenor two, bass, Robert and Cecilio, and then, of course, Mark Watt, our leader for the choir in that department, is a Region 1 representative. And so it was mentioned that Howard College had a large number of students that made it to that level. So we're very proud of what they're doing in that area. Emma, is there anything you'd want to add? Just that they did a great job. I know she sent me some stuff. It was really good. Okay. Legislative. Just quick, Howard County Day and Community College Day, mainly wanted to get across that and shared with you that there were resolutions that were passed in both the House and the Senate, and shared those with you. And those are for Howard County, but include Howard College and SWID. As a part of that, it was a successful day. We had students from across the district that attended. I thought it was a great representation and a great learning opportunity for our students. They had the opportunity, as well as the community that attended. Hit a little different this time. They were literally on the floor of both the House and the Senate in the chambers. Got the lowdown on how it worked. From our state representative and state senator. So that was really different, and actually I thought it was a lot better opportunity for, again, there were 44 Howard College and SWID students, and that did include some staff and administrators, but mainly that was our students that were there. Raul went as one of the board members and was able to participate as well. And so it was a very effective, I think, couple of days that we spent in Austin. Moving along, Raul stayed, he actually was able to stay for the CAT new trustee training the next day as a part of his trip down there. And I know he's on the line, but I don't know if he wants to say anything or not.
It was very informative, just kind of bringing it back. I guess, the training, it was kind of fast and quick, but I feel like, you know, every time I go to these trainings, I'm gathering more and more information of how we're supposed to operate as board members. So I thought it was great. It was a smaller setting. It wasn't, it was probably about maybe four or five attendees from different places, and I was able to talk to some of the other new board members and then also kind of hear how some of the other community colleges are working in Texas. So I always like to hear how other community colleges are making things work. And from what it sounds like Big Spring's on the right path. Howard College is on the right path. And I think we're making the adjustments to continue to make our students successful. And that's about all I have. And I do have some ideas, but I'll kind of bring them up later on. I'm still learning. So it was a good training session.
All right. Thank you. And so some final comments about legislative, and then we can be finished. House Appropriation and Senate Finance have heard the presentation relative to community college funding that has been set forth by the Texas Commission. The appropriations bill, as you know, has started off with basically the appropriations that are in there represent the old formula, but they have the new money over in a rider waiting for the implementation of the community college finance recommendations. The interesting thing that's going on right now is that although the budget for both the House appropriations bill and the Senate bill, they're moving forward, but the legislation that goes with the commission as far as their recommendations, that bill is still being worked on at Texas Ledge Council, and the deadline to file bills are March the 10th, but we are not concerned about that because we, I think maybe one time I remember a governor talking about the community colleges in his State of the State address, and Governor Abbott did that the other night, and referenced the financing for the community colleges, had a student from Odessa College in attendance that had actually gone and did a pre-State of the State, I call it that, but basically they had an opportunity to go to Odessa College, look at some of the things that were going on there, and then one of the students was asked to come and be a part of the governor's address. He was pointed out. So that was big. It's very big. So there's a lot of support for what's going on, but that bill just hasn't been filed yet, but it will be. And once it is filed, then they'll start working through the details that relate to the recommendations. And so we'll see how that progresses through. Now, part of what's going on, too, that aligns with that bill is the coordinating board is trying to take some of the initial information and start applying it into basically a structure that is going to then reflect how our funding will look. They have been working on the information that they have, that's going to really reflect some of the stuff that we've been doing with student success points for several years. But something that's new that's going to be included is going to be some CE kinds of data. And we literally just, because they've been working on what they were going to ask us, we received on Friday the template for what we need to turn in relative to some of our outcomes relative to CE. And so that is being accumulated across the state. All the community colleges are working on that. We also have a deadline of March the 10th. Once they get that, then they will begin to apply how that money would attach to that. So we still don't have our number as far as what our money's going to look like with the new formula, because they're having to pull all this information together. So we anticipate that that will be coming in March, and that information will be coming out prior to when they begin to do the conference, the conference committee of House Appropriations and Senate Finance. So the next few weeks are going to be very intense as we work to get that information. And we begin to share that across the state. So that's the update on that. And that is all that I have, board members.
Well, I think we're adjourned. I'll let John give the president of the trustees a briefing when he gets back.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. All right.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Oh, man.
Okay, Eric, I'm going to hang up on you.
We're sorry, your conference is ending now. Please hang up.